Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Lexi Blake, who is a New York Times bestselling author, and she is out with her brand new book, My Royal Showmance. Never heard that term before. It's a Park Avenue promise novel. The book's available everywhere. Lexi, this is the summer for beach reads, and when I first started reading, I would hear the term beach read, and I thought it was very derogatory toward a book, and now the publishing industry embraces it. So,
oh yes, absolutely.
Well, Royal Show.
You want to be beach reads.
You want to be beach reads because they're fast reads. People can enjoy it while they're doing their leisure time. So, set up for us the Royal Showmance. It's one of these reality show romances that happens that we're also familiar with.
So, basically, my heroine is a production assistant. She is asked by her boss to take kind of a really low-level position in a reality show so she can figure out if the director is doing something he shouldn't be doing. So she's kind of undercover. The show is called The King Takes a Bride because he is our bachelor, I'm using air quotes, is the king of a small European country. So she goes undercover, but the first day she's there, one of the contestants drops out. She fits the dress. They put her in, and that's kind of where we begin.
So I like this whole idea of, you know, it's Alfred Hitchcock used to do it, normal people who are thrust into abnormal situations, and that's really the jumping off point for this novel. But you didn't really find success, at least commercial success, in writing until you started writing romance novels. So how did that come about, and what's the difference between when something is called a romance novel and just any other novel where there happens to be romance going on?
Oh, that last one is very easy. So a romance novel will always end in a happily ever after. Anything else is a love story. Doesn't mean it doesn't have romance in it, just means it doesn't fit what we categorically call a romance. So a love story can be anything from Romeo and Juliet to, having just a little bit of romance in the background. But to be a romance novel, you have to end happily.
Okay.
Either happily for now or happily ever after. I got into romance, well, I'd always read it, but I tried to write other things. I've been a playwright, I've written comic books, I've done a lot of that. Until I started concentrating on what I really love to read, I didn't find a lot of success.
And readers seem to like plot twists and turns, and so when something is called a romance novel, and you know it's going to have a happily ever after, what do you think influences the reader that they still want to read about the journey? Is the journey that important to readers, have you found?
You are still going to have a lot of twists and turns in a romance novel. I do a lot of romantic suspense. Some of those turns come from that. I think what brings romance readers in is the idea that they can go through a lot in a romance novel. Some people think that romance novels are very fluff. We actually tackle a lot of hard topics. We can tackle those hard topics, and you still know at the end of the day, you're going to smile at the end of the book.
The thing I've been shocked at as far as when I first started doing this, interviewing writers, is how many men read romance novels. And it just doesn't, I didn't grow up in an era where
it's
a lot. It's a ton. And so what do you think accounts for that? Is it a generational thing?
I think that men want happily ever after, too. I also think that as we are not in the days, and let me just say, I got started in the days of what we would call the bodice ripper, when historical romance was very centered in our publishing industry. I got started in that. I don't know how much there was for men in those books. Today, like I said, we do tackle a lot of hard topics. And we do take our male heroes. They kind of run a gamut. I know it seems like they're all 22-year-old billionaires with six-pack abs, but there are a lot of, we write neurodivergent characters, we just write a lot of different characters these days. I think that's what brings men in. I also think, in a lot of cases, the suspense element of these books are so good, they bring men in.
Has the whole idea of the shifts in gender and the definitions of gender, has that hit the romance market yet?
Oh, of course. Of course. Romance is very, we kind of face forward. we're right on those kind of front lines. So, yeah, there's a lot of representation in romance.
The other thing I noticed when I got the book, I used to see romance novels, and I'd see them in the airports, and they would all have an incredibly sexy man and an incredibly sexy front, and I, in fact, knew a guy who was a model for romance novel books who would just go pose and get some money for that. So your cover for this particular book has the Park Avenue friends sitting in the apartment, and it frankly reminded me of the TV show from the 90s, Friends, the people who were living in New York. And so how important is the cover anymore? Is that really a big deal in romance novels?
Oh, it's a really big deal. We go through trends, I think. I would say back about 8-10 years ago, it was all the very attractive man on the cover, very sexy covers. Now we do cartoon covers for dark romance, almost. It's a very trendy thing. Everyone loves illustrated or object covers right now, so that's what you're going to see a lot of.
And I think the backstories, at least for the Park Avenue novel series, is so important because you need to know what influences these characters, and sometimes the backstory is probably a little more fun to write than the current story. Do you find that to be the case?
Oh, often. Motivations are kind of what move everything along, so you really want to have like a full, rich backstory life for all of your characters.
What's been the most difficult thing for you as far as writing romance novels in the current society? And what I mean by that is a lot of times you'll look and you'll walk into a Sam's Club. I mean, we don't really have true bookstores around anymore, at least in the Midwest. And so you end up at a Costco or a Sam's Club, and you see in these, I don't see the romance novels there. They have the political books, the nonfiction books. They have a lot of the thrillers. And so cracking into just the sales, how is that difficult from a marketing standpoint?
Well, I think romance, I think that the ebook revolution hit everybody. I think it hit romance particularly hard. And when I say hard, I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way. Indie publishing is really big in romance as well. So with so many different platforms that you can publish to, it's also easy to get lost. So I think the hardest thing about writing romance today, honestly, is visibility. You can make a really good living writing romance and not being the number one bestseller. There's more opportunity for that, but there's also far more opportunity to get lost in the shuffle.
I'm chatting with Lexi Blake about her brand new novel. This is called My Royal Showmance. It's available everywhere. It's a Park Avenue Promise novel. She's a New York Times bestselling author. The term showmance in the title is, I've never heard that term before. Is that something you've coined?
Oh, no. No, this showmance has been around for a very long time. So a showmance is what happens when you go on a reality show, and it's even in shows like The Survivor, like Rob and Amber from Survivor years and years ago were one of the first showmances. They went on the show, didn't necessarily mean to fall in love, and fell in love. So that's what they call basically a showmance. It's a term. You'll hear it on every Big Brother. They all walk in saying, I'm not going to get into a showmance. Those are the people who get into the showmance.
And I guess my the naiveness or naivety that I have of these shows is showing, but I just see the commercials for them basically for other things. And so the one that I thought would probably not work out was The Golden Bachelor that was on. And I thought, how are two people who are so set in their ways ever going to hook up? And of course, the reports are that relationship fell apart.
Yeah.
But as you see these reality shows come about, being a romance writer, you understand human nature. Can you pick which ones are going to be good and which ones just aren't going to work?
You know, the funny thing is, a lot of times, no, because I think reality shows lack some reality. And I watch them, love them. But the truth of the matter is, reality shows work when they're messy. I don't know that how well messy works in the real world. But there are some really great, usually, so last year on Love is Blind, the absolutely most boring couple on the show is the only one, are the only two that got married and the only two who are happy. So you could spot that one from a mile away because these two people were happy. But for the most part, you just figure they're going to probably fall apart. Although The Bachelor and The Bachelorette have had several long-term marriages over the years. I think Big Brother has actually had more.
Has the reality show boom over the last 10 or 20 years, has that increased the sale of romance novels? Is it sort of a, hey, the water's warm, we're jumping in?
Oh, I don't know. I think, though, that a lot of people who, especially women who watch reality television, probably are also readers of romance novels.
Are we at a heyday?
They've got to go together.
Is this a heyday of romance novels right now?
It's definitely a golden age. The amount of really, really great writing out there, really inventive, forward-thinking writing, is unbelievable.
And when you see the writing out there, is there competition? Because, I mean, I realize that everybody's love story is different, and you can tell the stories different ways, but what are you in competition with? Is it other romance writers? Is it other genres? Is it people's attention spans? How does that work?
I think the only real competition is really, again, visibility. Attention span is actually a good term, but I would say that it's not the way that I think you think I'm saying it. Romance readers are voracious. They read all the time. I like to say that it's not a zero-sum game. I can't write fast enough to please my readers. So I can help my readers out by basically saying, hey, if you like me, read her, read Rebecca Zanetti, and point out my contemporaries who are also doing what I think is really great work. So I would say the real competition is for visibility. It's getting yourself out there. It's getting readers to be able to find you. I think that's where the real competition comes into play. It's competition for space on Amazon or Facebook or anywhere where people will find books.
I recently read Bill Maher's new book, The Comedian, and he had a line in there that if somebody's under the age of 30, you need the jaws of life to pry their cell phone out of their hands. And so how does the generation that won't stop just scrolling through a Facebook or an Instagram feed, how are they influencing their readership as far as the generation? I mean, is it hard to crack into that generation that just wants to read five lines of something at a time?
Well, I think, we are actually seeing kind of a rise of serialized storytelling. So on platforms like Radish or Kiss or Vella, Amazon has one called Vella, where they do novels not in chapters but in almost scenes. So you only have to read like 1,500 words instead of 3,000 to 5,000. That's kind of coming up. I think that's you now kind of, if you're marketing to that audience, you start to think and your beats get smaller, if that makes sense. Your pacing kind of changes a little bit, so it's a little faster. However, what I would say is I also see a lot of younger readers who read these super long fantasy novels and read them and just want to go on to the next 1,000-page book. So is it influencing it? Yes. Are there still readers who, in Gen Z, who read, these beautiful books without problem? Of course.
Do you see, as far as the classic struggle between art and commerce, is there any struggle of that in the romance industry, that you'd write a 500-page book but nobody would read it? Do you have to keep it a certain level? How does that struggle between art and commerce work in the romance world?
I think that there is always going to be a sweet spot in the marketplace that you can find and take advantage of. But there are also always exceptions. I tend to write longer books. And the one we're talking about today is actually right at 80,000 words, which I've been told is kind of the sweet spot for a novel. I wrote it that way because that's kind of how it came out. I tend to just follow my instincts. So if a book is 130,000 words, it's 130,000 words. But a lot of times, I'm also very established, so I almost have a privilege to get to do that. Starting out, it sometimes pays to follow a trend to write, you know, to write to what's selling at the time. So what I have seen is we started out in 2010 where it was third person past tense. Today, if you're starting out and you're not writing first person present tense in romance, it's going to be very hard for you to break into the market. So that's how things change, even in just a 10 to 13 year period.
Well, it's just an amazing look into the romance novel industry. This book is My Royal Showmance. It's the latest Park Avenue promise novel from New York Times bestselling author Lexi Blake. The book's available everywhere. Pick it up, read it on the beach, read it on your breakfront, read it wherever you are comfortable, and enjoy it. Lexi, just a fantastic book, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. And we'll never be wrong.